going to intro us. How am I going to do it?
How do you normally do it?
All right, I don't remember. It's been so long. All right, here we go.
Is it working? It's not working.
All right, all right, all right. I'm Tony Roseland. Welcome to the podcast, Pixel Punishers podcast, that is. Sitting across from me, as always, our producer, Mr. Chase Warnick. What's up, man?
I feel weird sitting on the other side of the table tonight, but you wanted to play with all the new toys, so I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, we're going to try to increase the sound quality and just up at a level here. So also on the line from north of the border in a place where police departments give out positive tickets when they see people doing something positive.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
Oh, Mr. Barry McKenzie, what is up, brother?
Wow, that is a nice intro. I didn't know that fun fact about the nice tickets, but...
Well, you know, Canada, they say, is so polite that evidently your cops go around and actually give out positive tickets, so...
It's true.
I've never got one.
It's on the internet. It's true.
You got to try harder, man.
I think I'm a pretty nice person most of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Except for there's these speed bumps in my neighborhood, and they have a sign that says that you should drive over them. The recommended speed is about 30 kilometers an hour, but folks stop on top of them, and I've considered selling my house several times because I just can't. I can't take it.
Jesus.
So if you're out there in podcast land and you're stopping for speed bumps, stop doing that.
Oh, my God. That would drive me nuts, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like when people stop to pull into a parking lot. Like off of a main road, and they practically stop. It's like, get out of the way. You're supposed to be going with the flow of traffic.
Or folks that like are turning into a thing, and then they turn their blinker on. You're like, you're supposed to do that before, you idiot.
Yeah, as they're turning, they stop in the middle of the road and then turn their blinker on.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the topic of driving. I actually, this weekend when I was out of town, I accidentally, like I was at a beach town, so it was super dead because it's early in the season, but I accidentally drove the wrong way up a one-way street. And then I panicked because I was on the one-way street, and I'm like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And then I happened to back the RAV4 gently into a post, and I scratched my fender.
Oh, there goes the resale value.
I know. Well, it's a lease, so I'll just give it back.
Oh, man, that's terrible. They're going to ding you for that for sure.
I know. I've never had like an incident, like a boo-boo before. I felt sick. I didn't like it.
That's why you're not getting positive tickets up there, because you're driving like a crazy person, smashing into shit.
We're driving at one-way streets and smashing stuff.
Were you drunk? Were you drinking? Was no, alcohol involved?
I was actually coming from purchasing the alcohol, but I had not consumed alcohol yet.
You were just so excited about the potential of consuming it in the future.
This is true.
Yeah, I got flustered.
I enjoy a beverage, cocktail.
Yeah.
Or five.
Well, so no guest this week, and I apologize to the listeners for last week. We skipped it because I was out of town, and everybody had shit going on, and it was Father's Day. Yeah, Father's Day. We were like, let's just skip it this week, and we intended to do it like Monday or Tuesday, and then we skipped, and then so finally we just ended up postponing it a week. So, yeah, last Sunday was Father's Day, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I drove 17 hours from Spokane, Washington to Santa Rosa, California with a dog.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, my wife and daughter and son flew first class down there in about an hour and a half.
That's nice.
Or maybe it was 2 hours. I don't know. But, so I rolled in 17 hours later and, you know, sitting in a truck that long while they were all comfy after having been pampered and everything. So spent 2 days there and then drove 15 hours home. I made it home faster because I didn't have to stop with the dog every hour to piss. So
did the girls come home with you or did they fly back?
No, they flew back too, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I totally got the bone, and I didn't want that dog to begin with.
At least you got to pass through Bend, Oregon and to eat some sausages at that sausage spot.
Yeah, dude, that's Bangers and Brews. And
that's dope.
And Ruben wasn't there today. So Barry
Ruben
was
like the best guest.
Yeah, you want to tell him about that from our travels down there? Why were we there?
Why we went to Bend to shoot that thing for Propeller, I think, wasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. We were shooting a project down there in Bend, so. And we stopped in there, and that was high-rated on Yelp. It still is. And so we rolled through Bangers and Brews, and the guy, the proprietor, this older dude named Ruben, was, like, the nicest guy. He came and sat down with us and was, like, telling us about his history and about the business and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was insane, man. It was crazy. It was, like, bizarro world. But I remembered it, and it worked because it left a good impression. So when I went back down this time, I was like, I'm going back to that place. And so I went there, and he wasn't there, but his son was there, and he was equally cool. Let me bring the dog in and everything and hang out, brought him some water and stuff. Nice. So I was just hanging out for about an hour, just took a break from behind the wheel, and then loved it so much, I stopped back on the way back up north. I didn't go to that restaurant, but I stopped in Bend again, and I went to another place, was really good restaurant, and was telling my wife how awesome it was, and we ended up booking for my birthday in August. We're going to go down for a week. We booked an Airbnb just to go hang out in Bend for a week. So for those of you who live in Bend, epic place. I'm looking forward to spending some more time there.
You got to go back to that Sparrow Bakery that we did.
Oh, yeah, that was good, too, where we sat across at the artisan workshop while we ate breakfast.
It was strange and amazing at the same time. And they had this craziest egg on toast with, like, arugula and...
Yeah, that
amazing
was a
coffee.
Weird experience. Yeah, that was a very odd, but it was good. I mean, shit, that place is doing some weird shit, but it's all fun and games.
And they got that little play hole, swimming hole, surf area thing in the river.
Yeah, and that's where we got a place we rented, you know, kind of like you and I did over in that general area. So that's fun to watch, dude. It was packed this time because when you and I were there, it was colder. This time it was freaking hot, man. That thing was packed. There was people floating down the little side alley thing in their tubes and whatnot. And man, it's just, I like that place a lot. So
were they in wetsuits? Like all that's got to be like the runoff water.
Think, yeah, but they weren't all in wetsuits. I was amazed. Maybe they just like hardcore down there. I don't know.
Oh man. We were up north, this weekend on Georgian Bay. And, I looked up the water temperature because the kids wanted to go swimming, and the coldest recorded water temperature on Georgian Bay for today, since they started record keeping, was 50 Fahrenheit, and today the water was actually 48 degrees Fahrenheit, and the damn kids went swimming in the thing.
Jeez,
so I was like,
that's hypothermia.
They recommended
water,
on the
dude.
Surf report, like full wetsuit with like a hood and everything.
Yeah, no thanks. That's way too cold, man.
Yeah,
my balls would shrivel up in my abdomen.
They'd be gone. They wouldn't come back for like
they'd never
2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Chase and I just got back from Prosser, Washington. We went down and shot a two-day job down there Friday and Saturday. And Prosser is what, population 12 or so?
Yeah, if you've never been there, you should really go. It's awesome. There's so much fucking shit to do there, man.
Yeah, there's
amazing. There's a Loves. You can stare at the trucks.
Yeah. West,
are there a lot of full sets of teeth down there?
West Coast Transport from Ontario, Canada.
Maybe.
Like, that didn't make any sense. Yeah.
From London, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah. Wasn't that crazy? Anyway, so we stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, and I woke up, and everything was great the next day. Like, literally, it worked. Everything in the commercial came true.
Yeah.
Wow. That's.
Remember, we got down there on Friday. The weather was shit. We couldn't really get any shooting done. It was like, this isn't working. I was struggling with the interior shots. Things weren't going my way. We slept at a Holiday Inn Express. Next day, went out there and just fucking crushed it, dude. Yeah. We did have to fly the drone, though. Yeah, they had a waffle bar and everything. But I ran 3 miles on the treadmill, and then my monitor wasn't working, which sucks. You know, you get on the treadmill at the gym or whatever, and you get the one monitor that's not working, so you're just staring at the wall for however long. That was miserable. But afterwards, I went in and got they had veggie omelets at the Holiday Inn Express and bananas and oatmeal. And, yeah, I ate like a king.
That was a decent place. I mean, it was like, it felt like it was a new hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Holiday Inn Express. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing like the Four Seasons down in Kansas that I stayed at. But
it's not a fucking Super 8 either.
You know. Anyway, so we did hit a couple good restaurants, though. It was like, they weren't too bad. They had some public houses and stuff down there that were pretty good. But anyway, the clouds left, and we got out the next day. We decided, hey, we're going to fly the drone because I was shooting these big complexes, like housing complexes for an architect. And I put the drone in the air to try to get, you know, an overall shot. We flew around for a while, landed it. We were recharging it, getting ready to figure out what the next shot was. And this dude and this woman come up, and they're like, excuse me, do you mind telling me why you're flying a drone over my house? And I'm like, I don't know, where's your house? And they pointed like down the street and across the way. And I'm like, well, that's not even the complex that we're shooting, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I said, I'm trying to take pictures of this complex for the architect, and your house happens to be in my flight path, you know? And they're like, well, I don't want you flying your drone over my house anymore. And I said, well, I'm a licensed FAA pilot, and this is FAA airspace. So I can show you the license if you want, but I'm going to unfortunately have to fly over your house to get the shot that I need. And they just walked away. And Chase is like, they're going to shoot your drone out of this car, sure. He's going to get a shotgun and sit in the backyard right now.
Were they nice about it, or were they like they were pretty cranky?
Yeah, they were really cranky.
They weren't complete dicks about it, though. They weren't like getting up in your face about to throw fists or anything like that. But they walked away as soon as you kind of laid down the law. That,
I think that was their intention, though. But then they saw you, and you're like 6'3", and, you know, 200 pounds or however much you weigh. And then there's me, you know.
I wish I was 200, yeah.
And then
they think you're like scoping the place out. You're like trying to see where they got locks on the doors and if they got cameras.
Or trying to see in their bathroom windows or something.
Yeah, just trying to see what kind of porn they're making in their backyard. I don't know. Who gives a shit, man? It was
it's amazing.
Like, what, 10 a.m. or something? 9 a.m.?
Yeah, it was 9 something, yeah. And then after that, we went and took pictures of children in a park.
Well, that's good. You guys are totally creeps.
Yeah. We were taking pictures of children in a park from the street, and people pulled up. And I'm like, oh, shit, here it goes, man. They're going to call the police on me. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, taking pictures. They're like, yeah, see that. That's a fancy setup you got there. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, how do you get that laptop to hang on the tripod like that?
Oh, nice.
So there was a 15-minute conversation about the DigiPlate light. So I felt like it was live Instagram or some shit.
And tethering options, yeah.
Oh, good God.
Did you forget to take the free candy magnets off the side of the truck?
Yeah,
I was getting nervous standing there for 15 minutes or like sitting out there, and we didn't ask anybody if we could shoot their kids or anything, and we're just shooting because it's a big wide shot. The kids are like tiny in the frame.
Yeah, you can't identify them. But I had to go up to some of the kids. I'm like this dude, 45-year-old man, walking up to like kids at a playground. Hey, would you mind getting on your bike and riding around over here in front of my camera?
Holy shit.
And I'm like, the parents are going to come over here and smack me, you know? No, but they're like, okay. And they jumped out. And they went riding around. They're just having a good old time and we're snapping away. And I'm like, these are going to be fucking, this is great A material right here.
We could have fucking snatched some kids, man. No fucking parent was caring about their kids.
They didn't care.
We could have fucking snatched them.
My guess is that there's not a whole lot of child abduction in Prosser, Washington.
Maybe.
But if you were looking to start a statistic, you could go down there with a fancy camera rig and you're pretty much set.
Yeah, but if you are a child abductor and you're listening to the podcast, if you're looking for some new children, Prosser is the place to get them. They're easy pickings down there. So, yeah. So how about that for a scenario?
FBI is going to be knocking on your studio door.
I know, Jesus. So, studio. I had a good meet with B&H last week. They came in from New York. Was that last week or week before? I can't remember. It's all fucking running together. Yeah. They came. I don't think we've done a podcast since,
no,
right? Yeah.
No.
So, and just full support for the podcast. They're going to throw out some gift cards to the listeners and things like that. So that'll be cool once we get that going. They were really impressed with the just overall format and sound quality and everything. And I think we're going to up that tonight. I hope at least that's our goal here. Barry has done some research and figured out a couple of tricks that we're going to try here and see if that helps. Because last time with Aaron Nace, we had some weird audio levels happening. I think Chase might have been drunk. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Chase, stop getting drunk before the show.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
But well, you get drunk during the show, but just before the show, you got to make sure you can get everything dialed.
Right. Yeah. At least get it set up before you're hammered. So. But anyway, they're going to support the podcast. They also going to support the YouTube channel in a lot of ways I won't go into now. But I was just really impressed with, you know, all of the support that they were offering was really impressive. Good dudes. And I can't wait to evolve that relationship a little bit more. That's going to be great.
It's exciting.
Did they talk a lot about how you have one of the best co-hosts in the business and how they want to send me a bunch of pro photo stuff at all? Or
He was like a god walking amongst me.
That's basically what they said. That was them talking, actually, and I just recorded what they had to say about you. That's why I play that tonight. So
that's good.
Yeah, no, they're good dudes. And they're, yeah. So if anybody did you, I think we talked about this once already. They were talking about the tax thing where they're giving you back your sales tax as a gift card, you know? And so he reiterated that as well. And was like, you know, make sure that people know about that, because that's kind of an advantage of shopping at B&H. You know, we still have to collect and pay the sales tax, but we give it back to you as a gift card. So, pretty cool.
Indeed.
What's been going on with you?
Oh man, I'm finally crawled out of the hole that I've been in since basically Arizona. So I'm entirely 100% caught up again. And then,
good. Kids, I got some shit I'll send you. I'm back like hell, man.
Just in time to get back in that fucking hole.
Yeah. Kids get out of school at the end of the week. So, I make sure that I put myself in a position where I'm not going to be killing myself. So delivered everything that I had sort of in the backlog, and then I've been trying to learn how to use this digital audio software to make beats, and man, it's like going back to that first day of ever using Photoshop and not having a clue what anything does, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's so overwhelming.
Oh man, it's fucked. Like, I have this MIDI controller and I'm like, oh, how hard could it be? I'll program some samples to these pads and I'll bang them and I'll make a song, and like, it's not at all like that. So I've been scouring the internet trying to find the best shit, like YouTube, and I've been going down these rabbit holes, but I think I found a website. It's called busy something beats.com, and I went on there today and I bought like this FL Studio mastery course because it was 50% off. So I'm gonna dive into that. It's like 24 hours of content. It says it can jumpstart the learning process by a few years, so it sounds promising.
That's huge. Yeah. Do you know, I have a tutorial on architecture photography. If you're looking to jumpstart that by a few years, I can get you a good deal on that.
Really? I happen to have one on real estate photography, and it's very similar. It's a real kickstart to the career.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
That's why I didn't get into video for so long, because I was so intimidated by having to learn another piece of software. Like, you open up Premiere or Final Cut and you're just like, oh fuck man, ground zero again. I don't want to learn another thing, you know, after spending so many hours of my life digging into Photoshop and learning that shit, you know?
Were those programs kind of intuitive? Like, where you sort of just sort of apply keyboard shortcuts and techniques that you use in Photoshop? Is there any percentage of that overlaps? Because with this audio stuff, I'm not joking, there's no intuition with it at all. And nothing, like, you would think that like Command C would copy, or you would hold like Control to like copy and move something, and it deletes all the stuff that's in, like, you have a piano roll, and then you have like a mixer rack, and then you have your mixing board, and it's honestly, man, it's so over my head that I feel like we're completely retarded. I hate it.
It's like a foreign language. It's like learning Japanese or something.
It's brutal.
Yeah. I don't remember on Final Cut does anything carry over from normal like OS functionality?
I mean, I don't know. Command C and Command V, I guess, maybe.
Probably, but that's it. I mean, you're doing cuts and you're doing ripple cuts and you're doing, you know, all of that kind of, it just doesn't, yeah, it's a whole new thing no matter what. It just, fortunately, Final Cut, I think, is a little easier than Premiere.
It is.
I started learning Final Cut. I was overwhelmed. I gave up. I started learning Premiere. I went through the whole thing. I got a course like you did to save a few years off my life of learning the thing. Learned Premiere, and then I went back to Final Cut because I didn't want to pay for the full creative suite of Adobe anymore. So I just wanted to pay for the photographer subscription, but the only way I could do that was to drop Premiere. And since I already owned Final Cut, I was like, well, I'll just do this. And so I've learned Final Cut, and I'm by no means a master, but I can hack my way through it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
it's better optimized.
It's tough, man. I just wanted to do this in my spare time. Like, I used to make beats back, like, just like 15 years ago, I used to make beats, and I don't want to make electronic music. I want to sample like jazz and funk and stuff. And I want to slice some samples like DJ Premier and Pete Rock. So if there's anybody out there in podcast land that has experience with FL Studio, drop me a DM or an email or something, because I would appreciate any help or any direction. And the other thing too, is that FL Studio was I believe up until the newest version, which is FL Studio 20, all the content that's online is FL Studio 12, which was PC only. So when they're talking about like all the keyboard shortcuts, they don't apply to Mac. And I'm trying to figure out fucking control and option and all this stuff. And then the menus are all different because it's an older version and no one has current content because FL Studio 20 just came out recently. So
what does FL stand for?
Fruity Loops Studio.
Oh, Fruity Loops. That's what it is. Okay, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
So like, I think the newest one's called FL Studio 20 because it's been around for 20 years. And it's like, I was thinking, but there's like Ableton, and then there's Reason. Logic Pro, obviously.
I had Reason years and years ago. I was like, oh, I'm going to learn to make music. Nope. I opened it up and I was like, I'm in way over my head, man. I'm never going to learn this, you know? So I gave up on that shit too.
Yeah. So, I don't want to give up. I'm going to try not to give up. I'm going to give myself like a solid, you know, 90 days. And if I can't make a song.
You have already an inclination for that stuff. I didn't. I was just out of the blue. I was like, I'm going to learn how to make music. And nope, didn't want to do that. Didn't want to invest the time. But you already, you know, you've DJed for so long and what, you know, all that shit and sound like you have some experience. What did you use in the past to make beats?
So back when I was doing it before, this is like, I had a Tascam, like an analog Tascam 4-track that recorded to like a regular like audio cassette. And then I had a Boss DR-202 drum machine and I had a Boss SP-202 sampler. So I just had the two samplers and then I had just some shitty like Windows audio recording program. So I would just run things through my Tascam 4-track and then I would just dump it into the computer and do tweaks and stuff in there. But it was like super primitive and it was all analog.
Yeah, I used to have that same drum machine back in the day. I remember when I was in Bahrain in the service, I was bored and I was like, I'm going to buy a guitar and a drum machine and some shit and just sit in my apartment and make music at night.
Because there's nothing else to do
but like get your head sawed off, and I didn't want to do that. So music seemed like a better option. So anyway, rad. Your kids are still in school?
Yeah, our kids get out of school. Thursday's the last day, so... They conveniently set it up so the last day of school, the Friday's a PD day, and they just had a PD day like 2 weeks ago. Mm. Like, these kids never go to school, man. And then when they go to school for like basically all of June, I'm like, what did you do at school today, Lucy? She's like, we watched The Lorax and Colored. I'm like, that's a hard day.
they don't ever go to school. It's like B&H, they're never open. All the Jewish holidays, man. Which is weird that you can't order on it. It's like it's a website. Take the orders, man. What's the matter with you? Just come in Monday and it's all
fulfill them.
Yeah, what the hell? I guess they don't want to do that. So anyway, I'm sure there's a reason behind it, but
God made Amazon.
Yeah, so Elsa's been out of school for weeks, man. She got out like the first week. No, she got out the second week of June. So she's been out for 2 weeks already.
Did you guys start earlier? Like in the US, do you start before Labor Day? Like do you start in August?
Where they start the weekend after Labor Day.
So you just have a shorter year by a couple weeks.
Week after Labor Day. Yeah, I guess, but they learn more here. They you know, they pack it in.
We don't need more school.
And then did you guys
our kids are just smarter. Yeah. Your kids are slower up there.
They need that extra couple of weeks.
It's probably the cold. It just slows down their thought process a little bit.
So do your kids get, like, does Elsa get 2 weeks at Christmas and then a week for March break and all that shit? Jesus, they just...
And a week for Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah.
They get a raw deal up here in Canada, the kids.
What they don't do here, which is weird that they did where I grew up back east, is they had, you call them PD, I guess like a parent or teacher work day kind of a thing. Is that what that is?
Professional development or it's PA day or a PA day is a, I don't know. Yeah. Professional or development or some shit.
Well, so where I grew up back east, they did teacher work days, but they would do like 2 days back to back and the kids would be off completely. So they'd go to school like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then be off completely Thursday, Friday. Here they do it differently where they have PD days for a week and they get out early every day. So they do half days where the kids come home at like 1:15 in the afternoon. And it's like, man, you're fucking up my whole week instead of just 2 days off, you know? So it's a weird thing. They also, Elsa has the same teacher next year. They do what's called looping. So she's in a class with a teacher. And if you hate it, you know, you don't like the teacher, tough shit. Fuck you got it. Him again next year.
2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you better hope you get a good teacher. So,
she have a good teacher?
She is a good teacher. She's strict. Her name
is it like a
hammer, and they call her the hammer because she's strict. She's nice and she's effective, but Bruce she's very strict. And Elsa doesn't, you know, Elsa likes the nurturing type, not the strict. She does fine because she adapts, but I mean, even I in the beginning was like, God damn, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. But so she did fine. I mean, she taught her how to read. The kid reads better than I do already, and she's in, just finished first grade. So the teacher's definitely effective. And she's fine. I mean, she's, I don't have any complaints. I wouldn't try to change her class or anything, but we were a little worried the first couple of days. So, anyway.
So is this teacher, does it a split grade next year? Or does she just teach up a year?
No, she just teaches up a year. So it's, they just keep the same class for 2 years. So whoever did second grade this year will be teaching, I guess, a new first grade class next year, and then take them to second grade with them, and then dump them and pick up a new first. So it's just this constant looping.
Wow. And they keep the classes together. It's like all the same kids are going to be in the same classes. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, I guess. So if you develop relationships, you're not getting like torn apart. I remember my son was always super pissed when he wasn't in the same class as like two of his buddies from the year before. He'd come home all bummed out.
Yeah. I mean, the only downside is if you don't like the teacher, everything else seems to be positive about it. I mean, if you have, the teacher gets to know the students, what their learning styles are, strengths and weaknesses, things like that. And they keep them for another year so they can continue to capitalize on all that stuff with their education. So, it's actually a good system. It's just new to me. I'd never seen that before. So, anyway, what else is new? We started food subscription services. We just, with the baby and as busy as I am and Elizabeth is, we just don't have time to shop or cook. So we're doing, one's called Sun Basket and the other's called Daily Harvest. Pretty cool. Daily Harvest is like this, comes in a cup. So you get like 9 cups or 18 cups or whatever. They're just paper cups with lids and they have all the ingredients of the meal in it. And if it's a smoothie, you just add whatever milk source you want, dump it all in the blender, blend it up, pour it back in the cup. You got a smoothie. If it's like a meal, like a, I don't know, it could be like a kale with shrimp and whatever, something such and potato, and it's all in a cup and it's all chopped up. You throw it in a skillet and you just heat it up with some oil and then you dump it back in the cup and eat it.
Does it look like that?
Yeah, it looks just like the pictures.
When you eat it, it looks just like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome.
I use a food delivery service as well. You might be familiar. So it's a flat food. It comes in a box. You can actually order it through the app, online, or even using a phone.
And it's even and pre-cooked.
They'll bring it right to your house. You don't have to cook it. You don't have to add milk day. Or put it in a blender.
That's amazing. That's an amazing. Yeah. Yeah. What's that called?
It happens to be called pizza.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
It's new.
I don't know if I don't know if we have it here in the States.
Yeah, I don't
yet.
Think it's gotten its way down here yet. So,
well, I mean, yeah, it's this is the land of Hawaiian pizza, so it might take a while to migrate.
Yeah. Well, the other one I got a Sun Basket, and it's a little different. It comes in a bag, like all the ingredients pre-portioned out, and it has like a recipe that you have to follow, but you don't have to worry about like going shopping for the right stuff and making sure you have enough of everything. It's all in the bag, and you'll pull out like an onion. It'll be like, chop this onion and then throw these shrimp in the skillet, you know, so you're doing this stuff. And it's like, now sprinkle this paprika on your shrimp. And, you know, so within 15 minutes, you got this meal. And I feel like Gordon Ramsay in the fucking kitchen, like whipping up all this stuff with spices and everything. Like, I know what I'm doing. And really, I'm just following an iPhone app of directions with everything already pre-portioned out, which is kind of cool because I feel like one of those morning news shows where they have the guest chefs come on and they have all the glass bowls with all the portions already there. They're just dumping them in the bowl. I'm like, yeah, I can fucking do that. It's already measured out for you.
Is it good? Does the shit taste good?
Dude, it's really good. It's all fresh, all organic. I'm stoked. Elizabeth and I are both stoked because it's good. We were worried about it. It's not super expensive. And we're on the, what's it called? The clean and lean plan. So all the stuff is like clean, lean food that, you know, because we're both trying to shed some weight. She's trying to shed baby weight, and I'm just shedding sympathy baby weight. So.
Yeah, I do this program. It's where I drag my fat ass down to the grocery store, and I buy a basket full of groceries, and then I make food with it.
That's a pretty good system.
I don't have time, dude. There's just no time.
Man, you know what? Today, I don't like to get old. We're getting old. Like, we're no spring chickens anymore. Man, I went to bed last night. Have you guys ever played the game Crokinole, by the way? Mm-mm. So it's this, it's sort of like this, it's a circular game board and there's like a target in the middle and then there's these pegs with like rubberized pegs and you got to try to flick a little puck into this hole. And if you get it in, it's 20 points. And then if it lands, there's like different rings. So it's kind of like curling as well. And you get it into this one sort of center hole, you get to take that as 20 points. But anytime you get something in an inner ring, the next guy that goes has to try to hit your piece. If he doesn't hit it, he has to take that off. So you flick 8 these pucks together.
Got it.
So we were drinking beers yesterday playing this game, and you have to like sometimes lean a little off center in your chair. You can't move your chair, get out of your chair. You have to lean in your chair. And man, so from playing Crokinole last night and drinking beer, I woke up with like a bummed hip today. I couldn't get out of bed because I had to shift in my chair.
Wow. Amazing. That's amazing.
Like my left hip, man.
I woke up with the injured hip.
And my hip was out.
Now you know you're getting old if you can't. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now on the screen, and it's like a tabletop.
It's like backgammon or something.
Yeah, it's like a little miniature shuffleboard type of a thing. And
man, I don't know how you throw a hip out. That shit is fun, dude.
Barry's getting a sports injury either. From it.
Like I had to grab my left leg and like bring it and lift it into the car today.
You got a pinched nerve.
I don't know what this is. I've never seen this game. I never even heard of it.
I think it's Canadian, man.
Have you heard of this before? I've never
fucking heard of it. No, I play video games. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys not have a PlayStation up there? Has that not made it to Canada yet?
We have it, but this is, I mean, we happened to be at a cottage and there was no internet access there, which is why I think they had the Crokinole.
Is this the same Crokinole cottage where they found your shitty drawers in episode 2? Or
no. No. Okay. No, that was a different.
Good Lord, man. Well, how old are you now, Chase?
How old am I? 36.
He's not even that old yet.
No,
you'll get man, there. When you hit 40, the fucking wheels fall
off. Yeah, they do. They start to come off quick.
Oh shit!
I got 40. Like man,
I've sneezed. There's like a few instances this year. Like I sneezed once and my neck was out for 2 weeks. And then
good I was thing fluffing. You got free healthcare up there. Canada.
I know. And I was fluffing the duvet one morning. My back went out. I had to get Jen to lift me off the ground. I'm like, Jen, I can't. I was like medic alert. Like I've fallen and I can't get up.
You're fluffing somebody? What?
I was fluffing someone.
Dislocated your jaw. Then,
yeah, and then another time I was at a Bills game and I wear this silly like football hat on my head and I went to like just straighten it and I like put my shoulder out and I like couldn't turn my head for 2 weeks, man.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
It's rough. Like I remember my parents being like, "Oh, I'm getting old," and I'm like, "Stop whining." But man, when you're in it, shit.
Oh, dude, it sneaks up on you all of a sudden. You're like, "Why does shit hurt all the time for no reason, man?"
Yeah, you get like a leaky eye, and you're like, why is my eye leaking today?
You wake up, one's just leaking one day. You're like, why? And then the next day it's gone, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, so you're back to normal.
Whatever
like,
that
right.
was.
I'll take a leaky eye over a leaky asshole.
Yeah.
This is true, because you don't want to trust the fart.
Too.
Yeah, that will. It will happen. You guys got to wear some Depends. It's not that big of a deal.
I read a story recently that somebody said, I just learned about all the people that wear Depends in Times Square on New Year's.
Because they can't go anywhere can't for like 8 hours.
You're packed in for like 8 hours. You can't get in or out of Times Square. True. You're so packed with so many people and you can't get to a bathroom. You can't even move. You're packed in like sardines. So everybody just wears Depends.
What a great New Year's memory of just like, I'm in Times Square and I'm shitting myself.
Yeah, that's pissing gross. All over myself. My girlfriend's shitting her pants. This is amazing. Woo-hoo! I can't wait.
Confetti. Speaking of being packed in like sardines, did you guys see any of the like aerial footage of Toronto last week when they had the Raptors parade? Like there was 2 million people on the streets in Toronto. And
didn't somebody get there was so shot? Many people.
Yeah, a few people got shot and there was like a stampede, but the bus with the players, like there was all the barriers got breached and it was just a friggin' mess. So the bus was like 3 hours behind schedule getting to Nathan Phillips Square where they were having like the actual like ceremony and stuff like that. So like people were so packed in there and then some assholes decided to pull out guns and start shooting people. Yeah. And
whoa, what's a raptor?
What the hell is a raptor? A dinosaur. Have you ever seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah, they I know what that dinosaurs. Is. I know that, but what the hell is a Canadian raptor?
Toronto Raptors. It's our team.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors, man. That's our
NBA.
NBA basketball.
They won
team.
The tournament. The
NBA. Yeah, oh, NBA. Oh,
National basketball.
I don't know, man. I don't watch sports ball. I don't know what the hell they won. I don't know. World Series or hockey.
Yo.
I thought hockey was your thing up there.
Didn't Vancouver like burn to the ground with a Stanley Cup like 10 years ago or something? I can't remember.
Probably. I mean, we're nice up here, but man, the thing is that we like to drink, and when we get drinking,
start cracking those Molsons.
Yeah, start cracking some Molsons and shit goes sideways.
Shooting people and whatnot up there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But basketball was invented by Canada. That's a fun fact for you.
Really, I didn't find
by
that one
yet. Dr. Naismith. Yeah,
We'll see. I don't know if I believe that.
I'm. You guys can. You have the machine of Google over there. I bet you can find
it. It's not working right now.
It might. What are you talking about?
It has to be working because I'm flying through internet right now into your ears.
Exactly.
So if I'm flying into your ears, that means the internet's
working.
Chase,
your phone's been jacked.
I just don't want you to be right. That's all.
Okay.
What else, man? What else is? Oh, so I had people were asking questions about Capture One, of course, you know, because we did the tutorial and I'm talking about using
James Naismith.
Utility.
Yeah, ESR.
And so then I've been posting photos of my last few shoots on IG and people can see that I'm using Capture One now. And so I'm getting tons of questions about that. What do you think about Capture One versus Lightroom? And why aren't you using EOS Utility anymore and all this kind of stuff? And Capture One just does more and it's better at it than everything. EOS Utility is fine, but what drove me crazy was not being able to move between photos.
Yeah.
So you take a shot and you go back to look at the previous, you got to open the finder and dig it up and all that's a pain in the ass.
And you can't adjust anything, so you can't see if you can pull detail from shadows or pull your highlights back.
Do I need another shot? I don't know. Let me pull the slider a little bit and see. And you go, nope, I can do it with this.
Are you sure you're using that, the before and after functionality? Because I did retouch an image this week where the chair at the head of the conference room table moved 334 times and a recycling bin was circling the room.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't believe that at all. Circling the room. Well, that's because I wanted to give you clean areas where it wasn't at that you could
just
use to
come
in.
Just take it outside, man.
Circling.
We just wanted to fuck with you, that's all.
Yeah. Are you sure you're using that before and after function?
It's funny as fuck.
Oh, man. Well, they... Here's a funny thing for you. The Hyatt shoot we did down there. Remember that nighttime shot of the patio that we did? And we were playing with the sliders to see how much we could pull out of each shot.
Yep.
We were able to pull three stops out of it, right? Nice and clean for the most part.
Yep.
Well, the way Capture One works is that when you make an adjustment, every...
If you leave it, every
subsequential shot after that applies the same adjustment.
Yeah.
And so we didn't take it back down from dragging it three stops. And so all the rest of the shoot that we did was all pulled three stops in one direction.
It was all underexposed.
In post.
Oh, boy.
So when I went back in to look at it and I zeroed out the exposure, because I'm like, why is this cranked up three stops? I zeroed it out. It was way underexposed, like three stops under for each of those shots. So it's a good thing that you can recover three stops of exposure in that, because
it
would
still look good.
It still looked good though, man. I was able to, you couldn't tell when it was all done, but I was like, oh shit, we screwed this one up bad. So in other words, if I needed to pull any more out of those photos, it wasn't there to pull because I had already maxed it three stops. So, but anyway, rookie mistake, live and learn. And, you know, so, but that was fun.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I had to take all of your pool markings off. You left those on there.
What pool markings?
3 feet, 4 feet, five feet.
Oh, I took all those off the deck, man.
On the deck, but not from the inside of the pool, man, on the pool wall.
Oh, they wanted them off the tiles, too?
Yeah, so I had to go in and clone all those out and shit.
You could have just told me. I would have went back and done it.
Nah, I'll just take half the fee I was going to pay to edit because of all the extra time it took me to go in and do that. So, you know, slammed with other shoots now, man. It never ends, dude. This time of year is so tough because the kids are out of school. I want to spend time with them, but this is my busy season.
And then you want to spend time with me.
Yeah. I do spend a lot of time with you right now, more than I want to. Yeah. That's the problem. So, but you know, that's a tough thing with summers being, and that leads to why I was talking about the delivery meal stuff, the subscription meal stuff, because that's kind of a hack for those of us who are self-employed that don't have any fucking time this time of year. Go sign up for that thing. They're actually pretty good, the two that I use. I'm sure there's others out there. Somebody can fill me in, one of the listeners. If you got one, you've tried one of these, and you're using one now that's better, let me know, because we're all ears at the moment. We're just trying to make life easier on ourselves. So we have a housekeeper that comes every other week, but we hired a PA at the house, too, just to, like, help us do all the bullshit around, because my wife and I, it just gets out of control, man, like laundry and folding shit and cleaning up around and doing dishes and stuff. So we just have this person that comes in and helps with all that shit now. So just trying to make our life easier, man, so that I don't go to bed just overwhelmed and exhausted and stressed, wake up stressed out every day. And it's just part of self-employment.
Indeed, man. Holy shit. I literally didn't stop working from the day we got back from Arizona until like Thursday. So we went away Friday, and then my slate's clean this week. So I have so much admin stuff to catch up on. And then I've got a bunch of shoots coming up the first 2 weeks of July. So that'll start to bog me down, and I'll be right back into it.
Yeah. Getting paid is the big deal. You know, you work so much that you don't have time to invoice, or you're shooting so much, you don't have time to get anything edited. And until you get it edited and delivered, you can't bill the client for it. So yeah. I've got so much going out and nothing coming in. It's like, Jesus, I got to get some money going in the other direction here this month. So
yeah, I have stuff that I shot and delivered in April that I still haven't billed for.
That's crazy.
I'm like, I should probably bill these people soon. But the nice thing is that a bunch of the shoots that I still haven't actually billed for, I've had, they, for some reason, the clients didn't bring people on to cost share in this up front, and now they're all coming out of the woodwork wanting to license photos. So I was like, jackpot for me, because yeah,
better for
you're
you
gonna pay
yeah that works. That's
yeah,
good.
So
I love the licensing model like that. Speaking that's of which amazing. That's what I'm going to be talking about down in Vegas. So you and I are both speaking down there.
We are, yeah.
Tell them.
Should we talk about that?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we got to come up with shit to talk about. We're only 40 minutes in. Why not?
Yeah. So there's November 20th and the 21st of 2019, there is a conference happening in Vegas for PFRE, which is photography for real estate. So that's kind of like the premier resource for real estate photography. I know there's probably a lot of people out there that listen to this podcast and are familiar with PFRE. So in 2014, I was photographer of the year for that. And there's a bunch of amazing photographers like Rainer Ryan. Thank you. And Rainer was 2015, I believe. So a lot of really good like design and art shooters came up right around the same time as me. So Mike Kelly's going to be there alongside us. And Scott Hargis, who's like considered the godfather, is speaking as well. So I think my topic is going to be... Brandon wanted me to do something. Brandon Cooper is the one that runs PFRE. He wants me to do something based around post-processing. So I'm probably just going to stroke a bunch of paths and call it a day.
Nice. Yeah, you're the post-processing king. So I'm sure you'll have some cool shit to share with that stuff. I mean, people are always blown away by how fast you can move through this stuff with real estate especially. So what's funny is that I never shot real estate, and I'm going to speak at a PFRE thing. So... But he said that there are a lot of people there that are interested in transitioning into, you know, architecture and design work. And so I guess they would have questions on, I don't know what to charge for that. How do I price for that? I've been charging $150 or $200 per shot in real estate. What do I do when I start shooting for architecture and design clients? So that's kind of what I'm going to address, I think.
Yeah, I've actually been getting a couple of emails about that for the podcast. There's a guy out in California named Peter Lyons who messaged me and asked me, and he's actually been doing this longer than me. He was one of the guys who was like pretty well established even before I even picked up like my first speed light. I was just shooting HDR back in the day, but he was asking, like I told him that I haven't shot real estate since 2016, and he was wondering like, how do you transition out of it? And I told him it's a tricky thing, and I owe a lot of it to Tony actually, because not to say that there you go give it up. The way that I did it is not recommended. So Tony and I were having beers on the lanai in Maui, and Tony and I was bitching because I was getting client emails, and I told them that I was gonna be in Hawaii, and I was a little bit lost in the sauce. And Tony's like, you should just fire that client. And I'm like, dude, this is like a $30,000 client. I can't just fire this client. He's like, yeah, you can just do it. So that's the problem with shooting real estate, is that you're on call all the time.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's more to it than that, dude. It wasn't should fire your client.
No. I'm going to circle back around.
What are you doing, right, man? You're right. You're bleeding over there.
I got a scab that was really annoying me. It's gone now.
Yeah.
Now I'm just
you're picking scabs?
Yeah, he's picking scabs.
Do you have a scab box like Goldmiller where you keep all your scabs?
I survived in the closet for a week on chips and
scabs
and dip. Did you ever hear that joke?
No.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It's an old one. I don't remember all the details, but this basically this woman picks a scab off her leg, knee every day or whatever, and puts the just pus in a jar and puts the scabs in a box and keeps them in the closet. And
people,
somebody came over to clean her house one day or something and got locked in the closet. And he was in there for like 3 days before the old lady found him and went and opened the door. And she's like, "Oh my God, how have you survived?" He's like, "Oh, I just ate the chips and dip in the closet here." And
that is disgusting. Yeah. So let me circle back around here. I'm going to circle back around to the start. But yeah, so he was, to transition, because real estate, you're on call, literally. It's like you're a doctor with a pager on. And when you get beeped, it's like, go shoot 123 Chestnut Street. And you're like, okay, and I'll go shoot that. And then you do the other two shoots that day or whatever you do, and you come home, and then you get those delivered. And then the next day, an interior designer calls you, and they saw your photos on Instagram, and they want you to shoot their a living room and a kitchen and a bathroom and a master of this amazing project. You're like, awesome. So you don't really know what to charge, but you're definitely not going to charge what you charge for real estate. So maybe you make up a number, and then you're feeling good about it, and you go shoot this stuff. Maybe you bill for a full day, and then you tell interior design client, who's the client that you want to be working with, that you're going to have these photos delivered in a week. And she's all pumped, and she's super excited. And then your pager fucking blows up, and now you're shooting three listings a day every day. And designer stuff is now on the back burner, and you don't get around to it for 3 weeks. And design client is getting frustrated because you promised the photos, and that's the cycle, having one foot in and one foot out.
She's probably frustrated because you're still using a goddamn pager is why she's frustrated.
Using the 5D Mark II and a pager? So yeah, that's the problem with it. So it's having the one foot in, one foot out is hard. And the push that I needed with Tony is that he knew that I had the skills and the potential. The chops to do it. So it was the push that I needed to, and it was like burning the ships. Like there was no going back with cutting a massive dollar client out of the picture. And the reason for that is that when I'm shooting real estate, let's say I was shooting on average 40 houses a month, and I was charging $200 a house. So that's $8,000 a month or whatever. And Tony's whole reasoning that when he was breaking it down to me was like, he's like, said, "Dude, okay, you're shooting two houses a day, every day of the week, 5 days a week. And you're retouching all night and delivering, and you're burning out." And he said, "What if you were able to shoot just three commercial jobs? So if you did three shoots, and then you had one of them, just one was cost sharing, you might make $7,000 or $8,000 just on those three shoots. So those three shoots are going to take you three full days, and then maybe another 4 or 5 days for retouching. So let's say you've taken a week to deliver three jobs, you've been paid $7,000 or $8,000, and now you have three full weeks where you're not doing anything to go find those next three jobs. Do you think you could do that?" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, easy."
Yep.
So that was it. I was like, you know, so now I'm like shooting four jobs a month, and I'm like
making twice, three times what you were working 60 or 80 hours a week.
It's amazing, man. And I'm like, and my clients, I'm not dealing with realtors who have zero respect for me. They had no respect. It was just like, I was just
a monkey, man. Just get over there and do that. You
know? Exactly. So now I have clients that are like, we have great relationship. I'm working in a different energy. It's not a resentful energy where I'm just like, literally when I was shooting real estate, it was just for the paycheck. Like I had zero relationships with my clients. Like I was cordial with them, and but it wasn't like I don't want to have beers with my real estate agent clients. There was no fucking chance. But my current clients, like, I want to have beers with them. I want to hang out with them outside of work. And like, when you're coming from that sort of energy, it's a whole new world, man. It's amazing. So any advice for real estate photographers that wanted to make the move, like, just put together like a plan, like a 6 month or a 1 year plan of like just tapering or like transitioning. And like, obviously don't fire your number one client, but just think that if you could turn those 40 shoots into four shoots or three shoots even, and then spend the other, you know, 20 days of the month just looking for the stuff the next month, like, it's not hard.
No, use the time, it takes discipline though. That's the key, is when you're doing real estate, you know, people are calling you constantly. So your schedule and your pipeline are always full. The thing about this body of or this line of work is that you actually have to go out the other 20 days and hustle and find those next three jobs, or else you're going to end up at the next month with nothing on your plate, you know?
Yeah. And the thing with that too is that it's like I consider my so I started shooting professionally in 2011. So I'm 8 years into this now, and I consider the first basically 5 years of my career, like the first year and a half, I had no clue what I was doing, and then I got good enough. And then, so I consider my first 5 years, like that was my real estate photography career. And I consider the last like 2.5 to 3 years, my new career as an architecture and design shooter. And it's been like, I have had to hustle my ass off. It was like basically starting a brand new business. And then the key and one of the best things ever, and Tony turned me on to this, is printing off a book, a leave behind, and, you know, pick 20 or 30 clients that you want to work with. So I looked up like all the high-end kitchen companies in my area and a few interior designers and like some counter companies and cabinet makers. And I just sent them my lookbook, and I didn't send like pricing or anything. I was just like, here's my new lookbook. I hope you like it. You know, let me know if you have any questions. And then it's just a conversation starter. But they're able to like flip through it. And then the other thing with that is the cost sharing model, because it's amazing that you work for one client, like I'll work for a kitchen company, and they'll bring the interior designer on board for the cost sharing.
All right. You're giving away my whole fucking presentation in Vegas here, dude. I'm just going to play back the tape of you talking right now when I get up there. I'll just play this audio file and drink beer.
I'll just say the beautiful thing about it is that when those secondary cost sharing clients become your client, and then they bring people to cost share, and then they become your client, and then so on, it's like I have one kitchen company that has turned into that brought on one cost sharing client, and that's turned in now to like six of my own clients, individual clients, and they're bringing people on board now.
Snowballs, man. It's awesome. It's magic. That's why I call it the magic, whatever the fuck I call it. I don't know.
The magic.
But it takes work. You're right. You have to be disciplined, and yeah. And like, if you're lazy, you're right.
It's the magic. It is, man. And every time I talk about this to people, I can see in the beginning they're kind of glassed over, but by the time I finish breaking it down for them at workshops or talks or whatever, they go, holy shit, that's genius. And I can't tell you how many times I've done workshops or talked about this to, you know, other people, and they've written me back through IG and said, dude, I applied the, you know, the cost sharing principle today, or maybe they got it from the tutorial or whatever. And they, you know, I used the cost sharing thing today and it worked, and I made X amount of dollars. It's like way more than I've ever made on a job. And they're all excited and shit. And it's like, and you're doing no more work than you are already doing. That's the beauty of the whole thing. So,
yeah. And I'm talking more in addition to just not that upfront revenue of having an additional party. I'm talking about literally having that person become your individual client now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. That's friggin' magic.
That is. And it's all kind of from somebody else doing the hard work for you and reaching out to all of those people. They become your marketing team. And so you build this empire very easily and very quickly. It happens quicker than you think. I mean, you broke off from real estate into this, what, how long ago now? 2 years?
Like two and a half years ago.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you don't have to even think about trying to find work anymore. It just keeps coming. So
yeah, I don't like, I've literally backed off. I haven't printed out a new lookbook yet this year. I went through the 20 that I printed off last year and have gained enough new clients and then cost sharing clients through that I'm like, the thing is, complacency is a problem too.
It is. Yeah. 100%.
You know, you get a little bit comfortable that mm-hmm. the work keeps coming in, and then it's not there. And then by the time you get your new book printed out and you hustle again, you could have a couple lean months. So yep. You never know. You gotta
keep it up. If you look at all the big commercial guys, you know, Dana Nybert and all of these people, you know, Peter Shafrick, et cetera, they're constantly doing promos and sending out to keep that pipeline full of new and big clients, you know, just to show them, hey, I'm still shooting epic jobs. I'm still here.
Yeah.
When you're ready, you call me, you know?
Yeah. Just got that drip marketing.
Yep. I think it's important to do that stuff. And, I don't always do it, but, especially now without Paul on staff, but, I try to do that. It has been a while since I've done a leave behind, so I need to put together another one. So we're going to do one as Rosa McKenzie, but because I don't want to do residential, at least not tons of it, and you don't want to do tons of commercial, we decided to against doing that ultimately. So,
yeah, I don't want to shoot commercial. That shit's. I don't actually. The commercial stuff I shot last month was fine, but
I don't want to shoot a ton of residential. There's a few residential projects I don't mind doing, and I get those from time to time from clients that I already shoot commercial for, but I don't want to have a bunch of residential people calling me and shooting houses all day long. It's not what turns me on. So I don't know.
Different strokes.
Yep. Anyway, what about you, Chase? Anything?
What are we talking about here?
You said you're going camping.
I am going camping.
Where?
Priest Lake.
You like that segue?
Yeah.
Was that smooth?
It was totally fucking smooth.
Here's a scenario.
Here's a scenario for you, Dad. Suppose Nancy sees me coming out of the shower and decides to come on to me. I'm looking good. I've got a luscious V of hair going from my chest pubes down to my ball fro. And she takes one look at me and she goes, oh my God, I've had the old bull, now I want the young calf. She grabs me by the wiener. Shut the fuck up!
Is it Stepbrothers?
Yeah.
Grabs me by the wiener.
I had to help with the segue there. I had to come up with something.
This thing just went totally sideways.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just kind of jumped from what we were talking about to Chase going camping, and I was like, we got to put something in the middle there. So that was it.
But yes, yeah, I'm going camping. I'm not going just camping. I'm going backpacking. I'm going to carry all my shit on my backpack, at least for this weekend. It's
by yourself?
Not by myself.
You couldn't even walk to the top of the fucking hill in Arizona with us. You had to get a scooter.
It was fucking 90 degrees.
You're going backpacking all of a sudden?
Yeah. You know, the reason I didn't do that is because of my fucking shower and I had to get on a fucking plane later.
All right.
I didn't want to be dripping sweat and crusty and stinky.
And you're going to sleep in a tent with somebody now, all stinky and crusty and sweaty and stinky.
That's fine. Gross. I'll go all swim in a 50 degree alpine lake to wash off.
Where are you going?
Priest Lake.
I don't know.
It's Northern Idaho.
Yeah, I know. How cold is it, though? I don't think it's that cold there, is it?
Priest Lake is cold. The water is cold. It can be 80 degrees outside, and it's fucking cold because it's an alpine lake. But I'm doing that.
Do you know how to build a damn fire with just a stick, like rubbing a stick?
No, I use a fucking lighter.
Well, man, that's not really camping. I mean, that's not really camping, then.
Yeah.
If you can't start a fire by rubbing
Bear
a couple
Grylls.
Sticks together.
I don't wear loincloths when I go either, so is that not real?
So what you're supposed to do is start a fire, heat some rocks, put them on the ground, cover them with like dirt, and then lay on them, and it makes like a warm bed for yourself.
Yeah.
But you got to find a cave to do that in.
Yeah,
so, and you got to find some sticks
that's step
to rub
one.
Together.
You want to go find a cave as soon as you get there.
I got to get a big club.
You're going to do that.
Yeah, but I'm doing that because doing an 8-day trip at the end of July to the Bob Marshall Wilderness in Montana with a group of friends. So I got to get kind of some trips under my belt before then.
I tried to get you to do a Spartan race. You don't want to do that, but you're going to do an 8-day backpacking trip?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll do a Spartan race, but the next one is fucking September.
All right. Well, now it's time to train. Put some rocks in that backpack when you go and get ready.
Yeah.
Don't you have to like crawl through like pits of mud and stuff for those?
For a Spartan race? Yeah. I've done like 10 of them. They've gotten old, but I can still.
And if you don't like get over an obstacle, you got to do burpees or something.
You're supposed to. There's people that half ass it and do like, I'm on 15, but call it 30 and I'm going to keep going.
I am the burpee master. You should see my burpee. Yeah. My burpee form.
He does one.
Yeah, I do one burpee and then I turn green and I go vomit.
He went and laid down. He's like, I gotta go lay down.
That's all the fucking dominoes you've been
doing. I didn't want to admit this, but I actually went and threw up.
I brought him down to the pain cave a couple visits ago. I was like, okay, we're gonna get some stuff done. And he was like, I usually just lift weights. I'm like, well, there's no weights to lift here, it's just body weight. And I was like, okay, we're gonna do burpees. Go. We did one and he laid down on the ground. I was like, fuck. And then he got up and he was like, how do I get back in the house? What's the code? And he goes back
panicking.
In the house. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? He did one burpee. I go up there 10 minutes later, he's laying in bed like all dizzy and shit. I'm like, you did a burpee, man. Not a set.
It wasn't just one burpee. We were like the third set of the pain madness after those like Hello Dollies and those good mornings and those dips and all that shit. I felt like I went in there, did one burpee and then had to throw up.
This gym I used to go to, we used to do called Thunderstruck, and when the song Thunderstruck by AC/DC comes on, every time they sing Thunderstruck, you have to do a burpee. For the entire song.
Yeah, I've heard a drinking game like that.
Yeah, it's
there's one where every time you hear Sweet Child of Mine, you have to rip your shirt off and shotgun a beer.
I think that's just a Canadian thing at your house.
Well, you should try it.
Barry made that up at home.
What the fuck, Barry? It's Thanksgiving. What are you doing?
His wife's all mad every time guests are over. She hates to play the radio because Barry keeps ripping his shirt off and shotgunning a beer.
It's not like Sweet Child of Mine comes on that often, but when it does, you got to celebrate because that's a good one. Right. Appetite for Destruction is a solid album.
You know how old that is now? It's amazing.
Is that 92, 90, 91, something like that?
Earlier I tricked my mom into buying me that cassette from Kmart. Earlier, she's like, I don't want you listening to this heavy metal, and I got her to buy it for me.
Yeah, first album I ever got my grandma to buy for me was Nirvana's Nevermind. 87.
Wow. Dude, Appetite for Destruction. I was in middle school.
That's what your Appetite for Destruction was?
Yeah, I was in middle school. That's why I knew it was before. Dude, 1987. Crazy.
I believe it was around the same time as Aerosmith Pump. Can you confirm that? I think it was the same year.
Confirm it. Enhance. Enhance.
Aerosmith Pump. Got to be 87.
Is 89.
89.
Oh, 89.
September 12th, 89, and reissued, remastered in 2001.
That's a good album, too. That's a solid album.
Yeah. Love in an Elevator? Like, is that Pump?
Mm-hmm. That is, I believe so, yeah.
Which one's Jane Had a Gun? Is that Pump?
That might be later.
I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah. Well,
I like the band a lot. You know the band?
No, I don't know the band.
Like Up on Cripple Creek and
yeah,
The Weight?
Yeah, that I do know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They have this one called... The Night They Drove Dixie Down? The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down? Man, that's my jam lately. I drive around in the car with that thing on. I feel like I need a cowboy hat when I listen
Rav,
to it. But...
Just driving around in the Rav listening to the band.
Scuffed up Rav. Crashing into the shit. Band.
just backing in the poles.
Don't worry, it's a lease.
Yeah, it's okay.
Wow.
It'll buff right out.
Well, what else? What do we got coming up, man? Besides the Vegas thing, what else is good? What do we got this week? We got a shoot Wednesday. Monday and Friday postponed. Today postponed, fortunately. So nothing today, nothing tomorrow, nothing on Friday. But we have one on Wednesday.
Is that the Metal Fabricator?
Yeah, it's going to be a cool shoot. It's actually, I saw previews of that. It's going to look rad. So that'll be a good one. We'll IG that. But I think we got a lot of posts to do. So that's going to be the big deal. So we did this drone thing of the building that I'm in. I posted to IG over the weekend. Did you see that, Barry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It turned out pretty good. I think there's some cool footage in there.
Was that all just hand flying, or did you use any of the automation?
No, just hand flying it around.
You should have set up one of those like clean sweepers or like those like.
Are you criticizing my flying skills?
Well, I'm saying it's like it's not you can't fly as smooth as the computer can. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hmm. You tried to kill me with the drone.
You're good.
Well, I'm was just cruising around. I didn't know really what I wanted to do, so programming some stuff in there would have been hard because I didn't really know what it was that I was trying to do.
I took my drone up this weekend and I flew it illegally because I don't have a license, but I wanted to fly it, so I flew it.
Oh yeah, they started all that in Canada now too, didn't they?
Yeah, June 1st, so I can get like the basic license. It's $5 to register the drone, and then $10 to take the basic license. So
it's funny, we've had all these laws for so long here, and you guys just got them, and you're bitching like the world is ending. And it's like, dude, we've had that in the U.S. for years now already. So
I'm not bitching. I don't really care. I just want to
there are other Canadians that are bitching.
Well, McKinnon's upset. McKinnon's never going to fly his drone again. But
he was upset. He did a whole video on it.
Yeah.
It's funny how they say their reasoning, like Transport Canada. I went on their website, and I actually this weekend I brought my laptop with me, and I was like, I'm gonna jump on there and sign up just to make this all kosher. And they're like, the reason you register your drone is so if it ever gets lost, it can be returned to you, and also if there's ever a recall, we can trace the serial number and shit. I'm like, that's bullshit.
Landed on the White House lawn, they know who to call. That's why.
Exactly. So I signed up and registered through Terrence to the Transport Canada website, but I wasn't motivated to write an exam, so I just didn't do it.
I did it, but just because I get requests to fly it so much that it was like, I'm gonna do it legally, and everywhere where I live is all no fly zone. It's all restricted airspace, so you have to basically have it to be able to submit for the airspace authorization to be able to fly anywhere. Fortunately, the building that I am in down here, that the studio is in a little pocket of a few square blocks where it's
lucked out
in between two airport zones. And so on the chart, I can fly it like right here, but not very far, but right here.
Imagine a Venn diagram that's just pulled apart just a tiny little bit. And that's like where we were. It was perfect.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I love flying. It's so damn fun.
Yeah, it is, man. It's a blast. You know, I have the Phantom 4 Pro, which we were flying this weekend, and it flies sweet. It's nice. It's smooth. The video from it is amazing, the 4K video and stuff. The stills, I'm not super psyched, man. And I looked this weekend to see what I could upgrade to, and I looked at the Mavic Pro 2 or Mavic, Mavic Pro 2, Mavic 2 Pro, whatever that
with the Hasselblad.
With the Hasi, but evidently the video is good, but from what I read, the stills, even though it's like a 20 megapixel camera versus a 12 megapixel camera that I have in my Phantom, supposedly the images aren't much different as far as the stills go. So if somebody has that or has them both and has seen a difference between the two, let me know. If there's a listener out there that has purchased the Pro 2 and that Hasi camera, if you think it's the shit and you had a Phantom 4 Pro and you saw a significant difference, let me know, because I'm trying to figure out how to upgrade to a better camera. I guess the Inspire, with the Zenmuse X5 camera,
you're talking like $12,000 worth of
flying. Yeah, it gets too expensive. I can't justify, I don't fly enough to justify that. But I would like to have a better still camera. I don't do much video. It's mostly stills. And, you know, the IQ on it is, the color is fine, exposure is fine, but there's noise. Even at ISO 100, it's like I'm looking at it at 200% or something like that when it's only at 100%. It's just, I don't know. I've never been crazy about the image quality. So,
do you still have your little Mavic Air?
Yeah, I do. That's good too, but it's not any better than
I did one job last year where I shot this like high rise with it, and it actually wasn't too bad.
I was actually
pretty surprised.
Is that the one with the phone line or the power line through the middle of it?
Yeah, and I sent it to some fucking retoucher, some 8-year-old in India, and he sent it back, and they retouched it all the power lines, but they forgot the shadows on the ground.
Yeah. That is the hard part for you. It's like when you send out retouching of a pool at the Hyatt, and they retouch out all the depth markers on the surface, but not on the walls around the pool.
Yeah.
Huh. Jeez.
That's cute.
Nice, Chase. Anyway, so I guess that's it, man. I don't got anything else. So we're at an hour. We might as well shut it down here since we don't have a guest.
Are there any questions in the inbox over there at all?
I didn't ask, so I didn't get any. Do you have any? Has anybody hit you up with questions this week?
There was just the one about the transition. Let me flip through my IG here real quick.
All my stuff is, hey, Tony, what kind of tripod is that? Hey, Tony, what is that thing hanging off your tripod with the computer? And hey, Tony, why'd you go back to Capture One? So it's called a DigiPlate Light. That's what holds the laptop off of the tripod.
They're nice.
And then the tripod is the Gitso. What is it? You have the same one now. What is the model number of that thing?
It's sitting over there. Do you want me to wheel over and find out? Like
I posted it on Instagram. You can look it up. Do your research.
Oh, here, let me look it up right now. I'll tell you exactly. Let me go to the Instagram machine here, and we're gonna go to Tony, and we're gonna click on this. This is the Gitso GT5560SGT.
Okay. So they don't make that anymore. And it's tall. It's like, what, 11 feet or 10 feet or something like that. So they don't make it anymore. So Barry got one. I found one on eBay and picked it up for Barry because he was admiring mine. And they're hard to find. So if you see one, grab it for somebody.
It's a nice unit. It was funny when I put it through the TSA, through the X-ray machine, the TSA guy was like, that is some friggin' amazing carbon on it. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, that's Gitso for you.
Yeah. But I update on that. I talked a few episodes ago about how I had ordered the D4, the Arca Swiss D4 head. I lost a bunch of sleep, so before they shipped it, I canceled it because I couldn't pay $2,200 for a tripod head. So I'm just going to ship it to myself and in Michigan and pick it up and bring it back with me, and I'll pay the tax on it, but I'm not paying the duty and the exchange and all that shit. It's too nuts. So
yeah, it's $2,000 for that.
$2,200, man.
That's too much, man.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we'll reach out to B&H and see what they can do for us.
Yeah, just get the co-host, like this, the free co-host promo code for me.
Yeah,
just have them set it up as co-host.
Okay.
All caps, and then I'll just log on and I'll get a free head with it.
Yeah. Shh. Well, don't let the audience hear that.
Yeah, it's a one-time use.
Yeah, better be quick. That's like the people on YouTube that post a picture of like a Amazon gift card. You know, they post the code of it, and it's like, okay, here you go. Here's $10 on Amazon. And it's like, well, this is 6 months old. I'm sure that's used.
Yep.
Or like people post shit, but like, they'll be like, check it out. Got tickets to the Taylor Swift concert with like a QR code. And someone jacks the QR code.
That's amazing.
People are idiots.
I love it.
Oh, man. Also, yeah, if there's anybody in podcast land that can give me a promo code for FL Studio, I'd appreciate that because I'm using the 30-day trial on it. And, apparently they said if you log in and put your birthday in, you get 30% off, but I can't figure out where to put my birthday in. So I'm just over here trying to save some money, guys.
Yeah. Well, it's important, man. You need to do that. You never know when the next job's coming.
Plus it's software that I might never actually figure out.
Yeah. So you don't want to invest a whole bunch of money in software you're never going to use.
No, like $270 for something that might just get scrapped.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I guess that's it. I guess let's wrap it, man. Barry, where can they? We didn't do Barry's Bookshelf.
Barry's Bookshelf.
Oh yeah. You know what I think this week I'm going to go back to one that it's an audiobook, probably the best audiobook ever, in my opinion. Tony, you've listened to it, the Beastie Boys audiobook.
You have to listen to that on audio. You can't read the book.
Yeah, if you read it and if you read the book, the actual like paperback or hardcover, and if you can get past the first chapter of the history of what was happening with music in New York, it's the driest shit you've ever heard in your read or heard in your whole life. But if you can get past that, you might make it through the actual printed version. But the actual audiobook, there are so many people that read on there, like Snoop Dogg's on there, and like Rosie Perez, and is Christopher Walken on there? I'd like to hope he is. Maybe he's not.
John Stewart. I mean, it just goes on. There's all kinds of random people read. I was telling Chase about this weekend on our drive back from Prosser, and it's amazing. And it's the only time I've ever heard anybody do that on an audiobook. And it's all these different people reading each chapter. It's amazing. So that's why.
And it's their whole story is just fascinating about how they all met and how
punk rockers, man, like going out to punk clubs and stuff. And yeah,
and
cool.
They heard hip hop and they were like, damn, what's that?
How it's do we amazing combine the two?
Yeah, it's so good. So that's a must listen. Like that might be the best audiobook ever.
Yeah, as an audiobook specifically, that is really, really good. I have to agree.
I like Go the Fuck to Sleep, read by Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, I've been doing lately.
To sleep.
Yeah. All right. Good call, Barry. That's a good one for this week.
Yeah.
I'll throw that in the show notes for sure. For those of you who have been looking at show notes, I originally started it on my website as pixelpunishers.com as like a blog format, and then abandoned that when I figured out how to actually put them into the podcast show notes. So that gets pushed out with, iTunes and Google and Spotify and all that stuff. Although I don't know if Spotify has show notes, but anyway, iTunes for sure and Google for sure. You can read and click all the links in the show notes for those apps. So that's where all the show notes are now that have links to the stuff we're talking about, our handles for Instagram, any promo codes that we may be throwing out in the near future. All that stuff is in the show notes. So also
it's a similar format to our sister podcast over Joe Rogan's.
Yeah. The Joe Rogan sister podcast.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully the audio is better this week. Let us know. Shoot us a message, DM through Pixel Punishers, and let us know what you guys think of the audio quality this week. Hopefully it's improved. We're using some new software that should help clean all of that up and make everybody's levels more consistent. Barry, where do they find you on the web?
They can find me on the Instagram machine at SWIZZLER.
Chase?
Twitter and Instagram, Chase_Warnick.
And I am Tony Roseland on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Click.